The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Poke the hornet's nest. I'm Nick Gardner. I've got my host, my co-host, Doug Jenke here, and Doug has an animal story, a wildlife story, and hurry up because I just can't wait.
Fair enough. Good morning, Mr. Nick. How the heck are you?
Oh, I still got it going on at the ripe old age of, what am I now? I'm 73 and 3 months and 21 days.
And, folks, he did not take his shoes off to actually come up with that number. Very impressive, Nick. Very impressive. Hey, back when I started doing this gig with you, you used to tell wildlife stories about you canoeing, kayaking, and probably smoking dope for all I know. I mean, you're an old guy. But I have a really cool one that I wanted to share because it just happened. And we were up at the horse sanctuary, and we were feeding the horses, all 240-ish of them. And we noticed some big things up in the sky. I mean, they looked like really – they were high up, but we couldn't really tell what they were, vultures or whatever. But they were up there pretty high. And I started walking away to do something, and my wife kind of watched them, and one of them just dropped like a vertical anchor, just straight down, and in the middle of our pond, because we have about a 2-acre pond, there was a white snow geese. It was a bald eagle, came from a height of just craziness, and came straight down and took out that snow goose. It was amazing. And then it had to swim. Literally, the goose was too heavy. It had to swim, pull it to the shore, and then we got out the camera and binoculars, and the bird was just massive. I mean, it was a massive bald eagle, and the buddy landed around next to him and hung out for a little bit. But that's nature. I mean, holy cow. I mean, when you get to see a bald eagle come down and take out a bird that's, I won't say equal size, but at least half the size, and I mean, it was... Liz couldn't stop talking about it. So there's your nature story to start the show.
You know, I've seen that before. I saw a bald eagle swoop down and get a fish, and he couldn't get up in the air. And he was on his back swimming with his wings. He was finning himself into the shore with his wings, actually swimming.
Yeah, Lizzie said that the goose was actually kind of fighting, putting up a fight, as the bird, the all bald eagle, was pulling himself to the shore. But it was pretty amazing. That was quite something to see, because you don't get to see that hardly ever, if ever. So there's my wild story. Took 42 seconds. Let's move on. What's up, Nick?
Well, I've got two callers that are going to call in. Leslie Solovanovich is going to call in. She was assaulted at the supervisors' meeting this last Tuesday. And then Laura Hobbs is going to call in and explain she's going to explain a little bit about the voter machines that kind of woke me up, and then about her little to-do about the license plate that Mary Rickert rides around with, 666 on there. So we're going to hear Laura's side of the story and why she brought that up. But we're going to start out with some clips. I've got some clips of Tracy Edwards from Wind River Casino that was on Carl's show. I believe it was Thursday. I think it was yesterday. We're pre-recording because Doug's afraid he's going to get snowed in. He lives up there with a bunch of inbreds. What is it? Shingletucky?
Shingletucky, where the dogs talk and the people bark.
That's right.
I love it. Great pizza.
So anyway, I'm picking on this. Jeff Godert was on KQMS here about a week or so ago doing his fantasy reasons for wanting to recall Kevin Cry, one of the best supervisors we've ever had. And I've got two quotes here. These are quotes word for word that came from that interview. And you can go back and go to their website and click on the podcast and listen to it. Here's the first quote. Quote, 30-year agreement that Cry organized and negotiated that was opposed by the DA, the sheriff, and the fire chief. Now, Tracy Edwards is going to tell you how long this has been negotiated, and remember, Kevin Cry's only been there a year. Here's the second quote. And Cry, without even consulting the DA, the sheriff, the fire chief, entered into a 30-year agreement that has been determined, or at least analyzed, to leave like hundreds of millions of dollars of unreimbursed expenses to the county. So can we go to that first clip? I'm sure Christina's ready, and Christina's the only one I care to say hi to in the mornings. Actually, Frank's great, too.
Yes, Frank is great.
Sometimes I don't know whether I want to say hi to you or not, Doug.
I never want to say hi to you.
Doug's mean to me. Go ahead, Christina.
And like they rushed it. Here's the big thing, that they rushed it through without talking to anybody.
Right.
And I knew better than that.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, if 4 years is considered rushing. But, let's see. I've got my notes that Linda was talking about that say things like the lawsuit's silly, frivolous, all kinds of things, and I can use so much stronger words than that. Clearly,
we do have FCC.
Yes, I know, I know. And clearly this lawsuit was filed. You know, and let me give a little more technicality to that. There was it was filed, but they have 60 days to serve the Board of Supervisors now. It was filed on February 13th.
Right.
They have not served the Board of Supervisors as of yet. I checked on that this morning, so I don't think that's happened. So, you know, they could not serve the supervisors, and all is for naught, you know, and there's nothing to it.
Do you think they're waiting for the election and the and results of the recall election?
I think that is one thing, and I also think it's a political stunt. Somehow our agreement got caught up in all of the animosity with the Board of Supervisors and the recall Kevin Cry campaign, which is absurd. It's completely a separate issue.
A separate issue.
Absolutely. And you know, and when I was on the radio and there was a little bit of negative press back on the agreement is good news. I think that we got caught up in this the recall piece and you know, everything that they're trying to do. I think it's a political stunt to be able to say, look, the county board has been sued again, you know, and so
millions of dollars. It was, you know, not talking to anybody. It was,
hurried
through.
Right.
And like you said, I know that you've been working on this thing for 4 years, and it was clear the last time you owned it.
Absolutely. We started 4 years ago, and I said this last time we were here, we've worked with 8 different county officials, including 2 county councils, 5 county CEOs, and 1 assistant CEO. The staff knew about this agreement. They knew about the agreement because way back when they were all asked, the departments were asked to provide to, I think it was Larry Lease at the time, what does your department need? So the first agreement we worked on, you know, the fire department wanted a brand new fire station. You know, the sheriff's department wanted all kinds of things. So they've known about this agreement. So I don't know why they said they haven't. That's maddening to me. We've been working on it, you know, for 4 years. We get to a good agreement, and then I'm hearing this, we're costing the county millions of dollars. First of all, the agreement's not even in effect yet, so I don't know how anybody knows, you know, what the county is losing or not losing. You know, we've negotiated for law enforcement, fire, and everything else in the agreement. We provided agreements to the county for the surrounding counties. Shasta County is going to get more than Siskiyou, Butte, Tehama, in their agreements. I mean, we're comparable with those counties. The opposition has provided agreements that were from San Diego, Los Angeles County. I mean, I don't know if any of you have patronized those casinos. You know, you're talking 2,000 machines, you know, resorts and restaurants. I mean, there's some amazing facilities in Southern California. That's not One River Casino, and that's.
So there you go. 30-year agreement that Cry organized and negotiated himself. They started with Larry Lease 4 years ago. Lion Jeff has his facts mixed up, I suspect.
Well, you know, that has been the hallmark of the uber-liberal rhino recall Kevin Cry BS, is the fact that they keep spouting this crap off, and none of it has been true. The fact that he's cost, you know, he voted for the Dominions, that part is actually true, and I thank you, Kevin, handshake. But everything else has been a complete lie, and here's just another one where Mr. Goddard goes out, does what the liberal playbook is, which is throw out an absolute abject lie, and now the other side has to go and try to defend a lie, which just has no basis in truth. And what Mr. Goddard and all the idiot liberals don't take into account is since the casino opened, we have received zero money. Why doesn't he go back and start going, hey, all of our previous Board of Supervisors didn't get us any protection all of these years. At least we're getting something now. And hundreds of millions, I mean, first off, hundreds of millions. Let's go with $100 million over 30 years. That's $3 million a year at a minimum that he's saying it's going to cost us. Well, I would like to go back for the last 20 years and find out how much money has the county put out that they didn't get back. I'll bet you it's probably equal to that, if not more. So for them to sit there and make those statements, again, just shows that there's not a single element of truth to what the recall had and what Jeff Goddard said about this. Because there is the lady that says that started 4 years ago, which by my math, which is pre-Common Core, was 3 years before Kevin Cry.
Okay, the third clip is going to explain the lawsuit, but I want to point out before we get there that this lawsuit was headlines just 4 or 5 days ago. It's not going to get served. I'll bet it doesn't come to fruition. It's just a headline that they put up there, and Dave Benda is just happy to go along with it because it makes the Board of Supervisors look bad.
Well, that's, again, it goes back to that throw the crap out there, whether it's true or not, throw it out there and then retreat to the cockroach-infested hole you come from, and then we, as common-sense people, have to try and figure out, where did this come from? What is it? So what do you got for us, Nick?
We got clip number two. Tracy's going to explain the deal that was negotiated mainly by Tim Garmon.
By Tim Garmon. Tim Garmon. Tim Garmon. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure that name is fair.
Right. Yeah, so we negotiated those agreements, and you said, I'm not sure if other tribes have negotiated similar types of agreements. Usually they're like flat payments.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how many of our calls mm-hmm. you have. But we wanted, you know, to pay as we, you know, pay what we're really using. And so we did these on-call, or not on-call, per-service call-based payments. And we did a cost-benefit analysis on what it cost Shasta County to provide services to Shasta Lake City. Our call per service, we're paying more than Shasta Lake City. There's no reason we should have to, but that's what we decided to do. So, you know, this agreement is fair. It benefits both the tribe and the county, and I think that, you know, you talk about some future harm, and something I think that just throws this whole lawsuit out on its face. There's a provision in this agreement that says if the county is not recouping its costs that the tribe is costing the county, we have to renegotiate. So, you know, there's a
have to renegotiate.
That's interesting because that's the clause that nobody knew for sure is because the liberals again and the recall people kept throwing it out that there was no recapture, there was no renegotiation, and she just said point blank, public radio in an archive that in fact there is a clause in there that says if the county is not breaking even at a minimum, they can renegotiate the contract.
Have to,
and words matter.
You know, I want to point something out. I've been against this casino moving mainly because of I believe they're going to bring crime over that way and inebriated drivers. But I have nothing but good things to say about the tribe. They contribute to this community so much that it's just unbelievable. And if I had to take a business's word for something here in Shasta County, I would lean towards the tribe. I've never heard of them lying or backing out on anything they said.
Well, you know, it's funny. You and I actually differed on the radio many shows back about that because your opinion is valid, but I think the foundation is flawed in that you're making the business responsible for the actions of humans. I would say that if you probably asked the highway patrol, the sheriff, the police department, were there way more accidents caused down at that area than there were elsewhere on 273? And were they directly caused by people patronizing the casino? The casino down in, was it Orland or Corning? The Pascana tribe. They're right there. And as far as I'm aware, it would be a great case study. Have they seen massive increase in inebriation or crime since that thing was opened up? Because this is basically going to be right there on the freeway. It's going to have the on and off just like those guys do. And I don't think that the casino needs to not build it because you're afraid that people are going to be drunk. People are going to do it.
I don't agree with you.
I know. That's good.
You know, you're down there in Corning. They have one artery to get out of the casino, and that's get on I-5, go north and south. Here they're going to have to come up here and go through a roundabout.
Yes.
But that being said, down there in Corning, they've got a very sparsely population that will visit the casino. Up here, we're an urban area that's got, you know, 100,000 people. There's going to be a lot of locals in there also, and I know the bad habits a lot of these locals have, and I know that the crime isn't going to be coming off of I-5. The crime's already here. It's already down at Wind River. Well, and it's just going to follow it over along with the homeless. So you watch that green belt underneath the Bonnie View Bridge, I'll bet you it builds up. We maybe ought to see if we can't stake out some of that and rent out open-air condos underneath the Bonnie View Bridge.
Now, there's a real estate idea I hadn't thought of. money-making deal from Nick. But, you know, Nick, the thing is you may be right and I may be wrong.
Probably.
You are probably wrong and I'm probably right. But the reality is, you know, you go down to 273 and you get down south of Gervan and there is wildlife galore. I mean, they're under the train bridge. They're under the thing. Are those people just going to wholesale move over to the Sacramento River? They're already there. So
I agree with you, and they're not just there. They're in every green belt all over California, all over the city of Redding, and that's because the city of Redding is liberal. They've got three Bethelites on the city council. For Christ's sakes, they're giving the homeless rescue magnet, the homeless magnet down there, $3 million to build a daycare center for them
to get more homeless.
That's right.
Well, and, you know, and that's what goes back to Chief Paletti back in the day. He said, you know, at the time, this is what, 8-9 years ago, he said something to the effect that there are something like 52, maybe 60 now, organizations catering to the homeless people.
Programs.
They're catering. Well, you feed the bears, you get more bears, you know, and what we need to do is start putting the money into law-abiding citizens. We need to start making businesses whole for the damage these people are causing.
Let's hear this third clip, and then let's go back to Paletti. I've got something to tell you about him. Are you ready? This is the lawsuit that was filed. Are you ready to clip? Oh, she's ready.
California Land Stewardship Council, LLC.
Okay. And have we heard of them before?
You know, it's funny.
Because nobody seems to be able to find out who that is. No.
So this was incorporated on February 5th. The complaint was circulated on February 13th. Usually you can go look up and Google and find out who boards of directors are and, you know, where a corporation is. That's not the case. They did it through a firm in Sacramento that is set up to receive service on lawsuits and stuff. So you can't really tell. But what, you know, you can draw anything you want, but, you know, what we have found out so far is that, the LLC, the attorney who organized the LLC has worked for decades at a big San Francisco law firm that did legal work on behalf of Sierra Pacific's insurance carrier in connection to a wildfire lawsuit. And the attorney currently representing the LLC has recently represented Sierra Pacific as a real party in interest in the California State Court of Appeals. I don't know. You draw the. I'm not saying we know for sure who's behind it, but.
But wasn't there another organization that came with them? I may have misunderstood when I was reading it. That about something about the car fire.
Well, so when I heard California Land Stewardship Council, I'm thinking to myself, that sounds really familiar. So there was a nonprofit set up under the same name. So it would be the California Land Stewardship Council nonprofit that receives money on behalf of the car fire.
Okay.
So what I've heard is sometimes people will incorporate under familiar names so that it gives them some credibility.
Okay.
So I'm not saying there's a connection there.
Okay, so there could be not a connection.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think there's a connection.
So
but
we don't want people to think that.
No,
but there is.
No. But I think it's a ploy, it's a tactic to set up a corporation that may give it some that it doesn't really have.
Okay.
Maybe Jeff will go back and find another name.
Well, maybe. I mean, obviously he stole from another one if that in fact is him. So, very interesting. And, you know, I'm a little in the dark. So the lawsuit, I live in Shingletucky. What has happened in the last couple of days that I missed?
Well, I think they're trying to throw out the agreement that the tribe made with, the supervisors for services down there.
Oh, I think it's a great, Nick. I think that's a great idea. I think we should go back
and get Jeff to negotiate it, so we'll get hundreds of millions of dollars.
And I think it's a great idea. And let's just go back to where we got no money. We got
zero
money.
There you go.
That's a liberal win-win right there. You know, take away something that is actually positively going to impact our bottom line and provide service. No, get rid of that. Let's go back to not having any money come in at all and no obligation from the tribe.
Okay, we've got Leslie on the phone, but we're going to have to wait till after the break. I don't know how much time we got till the break, but let me explain to Paletti. Oh, okay, good. We got 5 minutes. I was working, and this guy come walking up to the business I was at, and he had a shirt on that said McLeod and something about the city of McLeod. And I says, hey, you from McLeod? He said, yeah. And I said, how long have you been there? He says, oh, about 6 years, but I've lived in Reading almost all my life. I said, really? He says, yeah, as a matter of fact, I was a police officer for 30 years.
Oh.
And I said, well, you've been through quite a few police chiefs, haven't you? Yes. I says, which one do you think was the best police chief? He said, Paletti. Paletti wanted to get something done here.
Yep.
And that's why they run him off. I said, what'd you think of Modi? And he didn't think much of Modi. And he said, one day he was walking down the hall and Modi come in his arrogant style. You know, Charlie can't count from the recall committee reminds me a lot of him. In fact, I understand they're buddies. But Modi come walking down all stiff and stuck up and thinks he's a big cheese. And he stopped this guy and he says, hey, I was just looking. And he said, I see where you made more money than I did last year. And the guy looked at me and says, well, sir, I probably worked harder. And he said Modi just turned red and turned around and went the other direction. And he didn't say anything really bad about any of the other ones. He said Roger Moore was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think he worked under Shuler. And boy, he really pumped on what gung-ho Paletti was. He said when Paletti saw him in the hall, he asked him how his wife was by name, his kids were by name. He wanted to know how things were going. Very personable person.
Yeah.
And I had the impression that he wanted to clean this homeless mess up. And if we'd have had him, if Leonard Modi was the main guy that got him fired, and if he would have stayed, I think our city would be in a lot better shape. And I asked him, I says, well, how's it work? How do these police chiefs do? And he says, well, you know, they've got no protection. He said they either do what the city council wants them to do, or they're fired, and they got no place to go.
Wow.
You know, and that's kind of a hammer hanging over your head.
Well, I mean, you know, if there was true autonomy of job, let the person do the job, and if they muck it up, then you get rid of them, but don't have it as a, you know, you have to do what we tell you because we're elected. The reality is it's a cop. They deal with things that the elected people have no idea. Let them do their damn job.
That's just exactly about this. That relates to the severance package that our three head guys got. Let them do their job. If they mic it up, you can fire him and they won't get the severance package. But you can't fire him just because you don't like him. You'd like somebody else to be in here. Or Patrick, Kevin, and Chris hired him, and I just don't like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny is when I got to do a fair bit of stuff, I won't say that Rob Paletti and I were best friends, but I got to interact with him a lot as the president of the Realtor Board. And I always got the impression from him as a straight shooting, wanting to get it done, clean up crime. And I was really kind of sad to see him go because I thought he was doing a heck of a job.
I did also.
So, but yeah, we're, you know, we.
Let me make one more comment about this recall. You know, they're trying to steal his seat, and as far as I'm concerned, this recall is going to define whether Shasta County is liberal or conservative.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I've been watching all these newbies move into our community, leave the nest they fouled,
yep,
and come into our community
and
with
the
their
politics.
Bright ideas and fouling our community, too.
Well, you know, we should do what they did in Idaho, is there was, I think the governor put out a billboard, somebody was telling me, that said, don't Californicate Idaho. And basically it was being, you know, pretty upfront about it, you know, welcome to Idaho, but don't destroy it like you did California, because that's literally what has happened. I mean, the good conservative common sense people are leaving because they can't deal with it. But the liberals caused this, and then they're now so sick of it, they're leaving, and they're going to go cause cancer where they land. And it's just sad.
I remember when Oregon didn't want any of us Californians up there. If we even went up there skiing at Mount Bachelor or Ashland.
Oh, know? Really?
Oh, yeah. 40 years ago? Oh, yeah. They didn't like us worth a damn. Now it's kind of vice versa. Okay, I'll get one more thing in before the break. Our local media has cut out comments. The Record Searchlight, a news cafe, and now the Shasta Scout. You know, Annalisa, she just stands there like a penguin. She doesn't put her hand on her heart or say the Pledge of Allegiance. They've cut out comments, and that is a form of censoring our voice, because I got a lot of information off comments, and I shared a lot of information. And now they have the hammer, and they can decide what's going to be on comments, what's not. A news cafe, that chubby gal that runs it, she won't let me on their comments. She never has. And Record Searchlight, they cut off comments, I don't know, a year or so ago. And that's just a form of censorship. We're going to go to the break, and when we get back, we're going to have Leslie Sabanovich on the phone.
Fair enough. After the break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hey Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
Get ready for a night of musical enchantment with Edwin McCain in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Friday, April 5th. Immerse yourself in the magic of his unforgettable hits like I'll Be and I Could Not Ask for More. Get your tickets now and let the music take you on a journey you won't forget. Tickets include $10 free slot play. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Tired of that long drive home from Sacramento? Try Redding Regional Airport, where you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. RDD is located just down the road. Skip the drive, enjoy quick check-ins, and travel with ease and convenience. Getting where you want to go is easier than ever with nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Enjoy that vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Welcome back. So, Nick, we've got a person on the phone that you have asked to call in and give us some information. So what are we going to hear?
Well, we've got Leslie Sabanovich on the phone, and she was assaulted more or less by a guy named Christian Gardner at the last supervisors meeting. Kevin Cry had brought in a doctor, Dr. Khan Amahani. And he is from Washington. He's an expert on neuroscience of child mental well-being. And he was explaining the importance of having four positive adults in every child's life and how it focused their brain on where they had to go. And it was really, really interesting. And Leslie was sitting with me, and we were probably 6 or 8 feet from Christian, and I kept looking at him. He is a clinical psychologist here in Redding and worked for the government, I think, his whole term. So that says a lot. But I was watching him, and he was constantly shaking his head a little bit when this doctor would come out of point. So I could tell that he didn't agree with him. Well, the doctor got done, and said goodbye. He had an appointment. He had to go. And I watched Christian get up and follow him right on out. And Leslie looked at me and she says, I'm going out there. I'm going to make sure he's safe. And then Kim Moore watched Leslie and she says, I'm going out there too. So Leslie, take over.
Hello.
Are you there, Leslie?
All on from my side.
Leslie, what happened? We can always cut that out.
We're going to have to.
Leslie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just introduced where you and Kim Moore followed Christian on out and watched him confront Dr. Khan Omahami, honey. So do you want to take it off and tell us what happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay, so basically what happened was we have witnessed this person attack other guest speakers and be super threatening. So we followed the you know, there were a few of them walking out there. So Kim and I followed them out.
Let me interrupt you. You said attacked, yes. Not physically attacked, verbally attacked.
Not physically attacked, but, I mean, we had one guest speaker who he got right up in his face and was leaning over the top of me and cussing him out. So
that's what you expected
I've
this
seen
time.
Him. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And
go ahead.
This guy was so sweet, and he had no business. He's from out of state. It's not like he cares about our local drama. There's no reason to follow him out and be confrontational. So we get out there, and he's in his face about just nonsense. What do you think about the kids in, you know, Croatia or New Guinea or whatever? And the doctor's just like, I don't have an answer. What about these MAGA parents with an agenda to push? Sir, I don't have an answer. And he's like just trying to be so calm. And so Kim's like, that's it. This is going to take forever. And I was like, Kim, like, put my hand up. Like, it's okay. And I looked at him and I just said, sir, thank you so much for speaking. It was great. You were amazing. But I know you probably have a plane to catch. This guy's going to be at you and it's not going to stop. So if you want to just leave, you can leave. And at that point, he gets up right behind me. Christian gets up right behind me. And one of the security guys for the doctor was standing right there too. And he shoves into the back of me. And when he does that, he inadvertently shoves the security guy too. But he's shoving his whole body into me. And he does this twice while screaming, these people have a political agenda to push. And I looked up at him because he's a good foot and a half taller than me. We're near a staircase. I don't feel safe. He's an idiot. I know he's an idiot. And I look up at him and I said, Christian, don't touch me. To which he responds by shoving into me again. Well, he might be an idiot, but I'm not. So I stepped back because I have no interest in rolling down the stairs. And he's super aggressive. So I stepped back, and then one of the recall crazies comes up with a big sign and is like, have you heard about Kevin and what he's got going? And I looked at him and I said, the doctor's got to go, and he's not from around here. He doesn't care about your nonsense. And so then I kind of pushed that guy away, and, like, I didn't push him. I directed him away because the last thing that a guest speaker wants is to be confronted with some crazy guy in a sign yelling at him about something he's not even involved in. So I sent an email to the doctor and said, hey, I thank you so much for coming, but also I'm so sorry for what you witnessed outside. You should not have been accosted by somebody getting in your face. You should not have had this recall nonsense running up and screaming at you. It's embarrassing. They want to talk about a code of conduct. And they want to talk about behavior. We've got to stop the circus. We cannot have visitors from out of state come to our meetings and be accosted out front. It's just not acceptable.
I agree with you. And when you came back in and sat next to me, I could see you were flustered and upset. Have you considered contacting the police or anything about this?
I did, actually. So I spoke to Chair Cry at the break, and I let him know, hey, this incident happened. Where do you want me to take it? What do you want me to do? Because I don't feel like my life's in immediate danger, but I also think that his behavior is escalating, and he cannot be allowed to continue to intimidate people in the boardroom, and he cannot take things to a physical level. And so I said, do you want me to call and file charges? Will that help with mediating the behaviors in the boardroom? So I did. I decided to go ahead and file charges. I really just wanted Chair Cry to be aware of the situation in case we came back from the recess and there was another escalation, or because I knew I was going to talk about it when I addressed the board. So I wanted him to be aware of it. Well, but I did. I contacted RPD and I did file charges.
Good. Good for you. We're going to let you go. Laura's on the phone. Thanks for calling in, Leslie.
Thank you, Nick.
Appreciate it.
All right.
I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to say I have been to 19 of the last 20 board meetings, and his behavior is escalating, as well as others.
Yes.
And, you know, they talk about the chaos at the meetings. And
that they're causing.
100% of it. Profanity.
Yep.
You know, I grew up logging. I can out-profane anybody.
Yep.
And I haven't used one word of profanity in there. These people just think that they can get away with everything, and it's getting to be a little more and a little more and a little more. And, you know, I kind of shove it back in her face, and I've stood up and made some loudmouth remarks, but I didn't use profanity. For instance, Jeff Godert, he went off for 3 minutes telling about what Kevin Cry had done for this recall, and it was just one accusation after another after another after another false accusation. So when he got done, I stood up and I yelled, "Grab Kevin, let's burn him at the stake." You know, people thought that was pretty funny.
Well, you know, you got to have some levity every now and then.
Yes, that's right. So we're going to get to Laura. Gosh, I can't thank you enough for calling in. And, you know, if nothing becomes from that police file, at least it's on record.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, I would imagine, being that it happened in the – it looks like to be outside of the building, there's probably going to be some camera, because nowadays cameras are everywhere. So there might even be video of the push, which would really, you know, support the claim that she just made.
You know, and I can't get away with anything anymore. I learned when I was young that the way to stay out of trouble was to run around with fat guys. I could always outrun them, but you know, now they got cameras. So, Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to play this first one clip, and we'll let you explain this into detail about it. Okay, this is about the counting at the polling places, and we want to make this real clear to people, because I wasn't real clear on it until this last meeting. So can we play that first clip?
Coming. California Elections Code 19003 that states any city or county ordinance shall govern voting systems unless otherwise a provision of the law is deemed consistent within this division. Therefore, I know it's confusing, but what this states is that the county laws and ordinances supersede any state laws in regards to voting systems. It is incumbent on the county to dictate the manner in which elections are conducted. They also mention that according to Elections Code 19207, which grants authority to the county governing board to adopt any kind of voting system in combination and combination of voting systems, AB 969 usurps the county's authority under 19207. And furthermore, according to California Elections Code 19001, the real will of the electors will not be defeated by any informality or failure to comply with all the provisions of the law. If the real will of the electors in Shasta County is determined by hand counting, then enforcing AB 969 would be in direct violation of California Elections Code 19001.
Okay, so what I talked to Bazinko quite a few years ago. He was still sheriff. And I said, how come? I thought that the sheriff was the head law officer in the county. Yes, sir, I am. How come the city of Redding can pass an ordinance to grow marijuana, but the county has a law that you can't grow it? And he explained to me that the city of Redding was its own entity, and he couldn't interfere in that. So what she just said is just basically the same thing on a higher level.
Yep.
That we are our own entity, and the state doesn't have the right to interfere in that. Is that correct, Laura?
That's correct, and we need to assert our rights. I'm afraid a lot of the people are not aware of the rights that we do have, the authority that we do have. So we need to read into the law and be, you know, educate ourselves on this.
That's right. And another part I finally understood that maybe somebody else doesn't understand, you're constantly going on about counting the ballots at the polling place with a paper poll book. I finally realized that if the ballots are counted where they're turned in, that they're not being transported from the polling place down to the elections office where there's a possibility of hanky-panky in between. It's a lot easier to observe the counting process because you're not flooded with a whole bunch of ballots. It's wide open. There's plenty of room. But more importantly, they tally it up at the end of the night because they're counting as the ballots come in. They put the tally on there. They call it in, and we have the results that night.
That's how it used to be done.
And they can even tape it to the door, to the precinct door. Anyone could walk by and see it with their own eyes.
Okay, so I finally understand that. And
he's kind of slow, so that took a lot of explaining. Good job.
Well, you know, I want to point something else out about Laura. Now, she has gone in and dove into this, and this is one of her main things, cleaning up. I listened to the other candidates. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we need to have the jail open. We need to build another jail. We've got a homeless problem. We've got mental health problems.
Yeah.
Well, who would have guessed?
Yeah.
We've got somebody here that's got a solution to something, and those guys, they just... Well, we need to build the wheel. They don't realize, Alan Long doesn't realize that that's been proposed. It's going to cost well over $500 million. We don't have, and it won't be built in 8 years if we started now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now you had another thing you want to talk about regarding Laura. Nick, what do you got?
Well, a license plate that came up. We're going to play a clip right now, and this is Laura finishing up her time on the dais, is her 3 minutes public comment. So go ahead with that, Christine.
001. And I just want to bring this to the attention of the public. This is a different topic, changing topics here. This is the license plate of Mary Rickard, our supervisor here. I don't know why she chose the number 666 to
Ellen,
be paid extra
Ellen.
For the... Oh, this is my time. This is my time.
No.
She paid extra for this.
Hey. I don't think that's appropriate to show that.
And I want to explain something to you. No, if you're going to do that, I'm going to explain something to you. That is a specialized license plate from agriculture. Let me... want to know...
People in the audience...
You want to know the
please.
Truth? I don't know. That came from the California Department of Motor Vehicles. I did not choose that. They sent that to me. You are being bizarre. That is bizarre. I did not ask for that number. I did not. Call the Department of Motor Vehicles. You just embarrassed yourself. That's terrible.
Please stop yelling from the floor.
I guarantee you 100% of those people yelling were recall people. But more importantly, my thoughts were she didn't have to accept a 666, but it's Laura's time right now to explain, so take off, Laura.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, I wasn't really able to complete my time up there because she was talking over me.
Go ahead, you can complete it now.
And so my mic was essentially cut.
Yep, you can complete it now.
Yep, so I would just follow up, and I'll take her at face value if she said she didn't choose those numbers. I'm just wondering, if she didn't choose those numbers and they arrived at her mailbox, why didn't she just send them back?
Boy, that's darn sure what I would have done as a Christian person, like she is. She says she is. That showed up at my mailbox. It would have gone back for sure. I would have marched into DMV.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, we've got 7 letters in our mail on our license plates now, and they're running out of numbers, and they have to keep doing letters and moving it around. And so I would have to find out, I'd have to hear it from the DMV, how did we give one person a random 3-digit number, that number of all numbers, when any time that you don't have one of those 7-digit numbers on your license plate, it's a vanity plate. And a vanity plate is your vein, and you have to order what you want on your license plate. So unless they've just restarted going from 000111, you know, I don't know, but that just is really odd because vanity plates are special order. You actually write down what you want. They don't assign you your vanity plate. You put on there what you want.
Well, in defense of Mary, she said this morning on Carl's show, and you can go to the archives and listen to it. It's about 7:15 this morning. She said it's a special agricultural plate and more or less said you didn't get to pick out your numbers. I don't know if that's true or not. Probably is. Who cares? She still accepted a plate that said 666. You know, I bet you if you went out here and sprayed 666 on the side of each car, you'd have a lot of people looking for the devil worshiper.
Oh, I bet you would. You know, and the thing is, it's a symbol. That's the thing. It's a symbol that has been, I guess, relatively sacred for thousands of years that that number in particular, of all the numbers that exist on planet Earth, that three-digit number in particular is associated with one thing only. And, yes, I think personally, if I had seen that number, I would have asked for a new one myself.
Take off, Lori. Yeah, what else you got for us?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And, you know, just as members of the community, we have a right to know and to understand that. I had some people say I wouldn't even get in a car that had a license plate with that number in it, let alone, you know, drive around with that for years.
Well, it shows poor judgment. That's what it shows, is poor judgment. And I wouldn't hire somebody like that, let alone elect them, that shows such poor judgment that they would have a license plate with that.
Well, you know, it would be very interesting. This would be interesting, is if when she received that plate, did she, at the moment she opened it up and saw that number, did she feel uneasy about it? Did she, you know, did it cause her a little bit of alarm that that was the number that she's going to be driving around with for years? Because it's, you know, it goes on a car for years. Did she actually feel uneasy when she opened up that package? That would be an interesting question, because if I opened it up and I saw 666, I'm telling you, I'm not a hugely religious man, left, right, or up and down, but I would have been like, yeah, give me 667.
Well, you know, at the supervisor's meeting, she said, it doesn't mean anything to me. That's what she said.
Yeah. Well, I think the citizens of Shasta County feel differently.
I believe so, too.
That's why I brought it up.
You know, you're not calling her a devil worshiper, but you're certainly pointing out poor judgment.
Well, she's had a lot of that.
And maybe she is calling her a devil worshiper. Are you, Laura?
No. I have questions and I need answers. That's all.
How dare you?
I like to speak the truth.
How dare you want answers to questions?
Well, you know, one thing I noticed about Laura at the forums for the candidates, when they ask a question, she answers the question and then gives reasons why. All the other candidates, they beat around the bush before they answer the question, if they answer the question.
Well, you know, that's politics, is you've got to talk in platitudes. You don't ever answer the question. You give general feel goods that people want to hear. And I think Dan Bongino says it best. You know, campaigns are sound bites and photographs. Sound bites and photographs. So if these people don't have to answer the questions, they're not going to.
Yeah, just as long as they get elected. We're going to let you go. Laura, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Have a great
day.
VoteLauraHobbs.com.
I did.
So did I.
There you go. So, Nick, we got about 5 minutes left. I see some writing on a piece of paper, which surprised me that you actually can spell. Pretty impressive at your age.
Well, I got lucky. Spell check.
Or you were back in the day when if you couldn't spell, your teachers would smack you on the knuckles.
Well, sometimes they couldn't spell either.
Why, between them smoking their cigarettes and having a flask of vodka in the drawer.
You know, we used to
the
go
good old days.
We used to go outside Manitowoc Gym during basketball games or back to the snack bar, and it was a fog bank of cigarette smoke.
Oh yeah,
it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I was a teacher's aide for PE, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and between every class, the teacher would run off around the corner and light up a cigarette and be in and out, and nobody thought anything of it. Nowadays, that would be the devil itself.
Assault on the kids' lungs.
Yes, yes. Well, that's probably the least of the assaults they're going to have right now between all the vaping that they're doing. But you got something about Klamath River. What do you got there, big guy?
Have you seen what's going on with the Klamath
River?
It
is. As a matter of fact, I talked to some realtors who operate up there, and they said it's absolutely devastating. It's devastatingly tragic. it is just destroying that whole setup up there.
They took those dams out, and all the sediment that has built up over these years is going down and coating that river. It's going to coat all the gravel that the fish need to spawn in. It's plummeted property values.
Yes.
All those people up at Copco Lake, I rode around that lake one time on my motorcycle, and they were built right down to the water line. I mean, it was beautiful. They had a wonderful place. They're high and dry now, and probably their houses are going to fall down the bank.
Well, yeah.
And then the mud plume goes 2 miles out into the ocean. And can you imagine all the phosphates and contaminants in that water?
Yeah, that have been gathering all the years that sediment has been sitting there. It's now been released. Congratulations.
That water has been controlled for a long time, and people have built up. There's going to be some major flooding along it.
Well, and you know, the thing that's really sad is because it was done by a bunch of idiots who are not.
They went to school. They have a degree.
Well, they didn't care about the fact that dams are there, past history. But moving forward now, you have entire communities are going to be devastated by this.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you something.
And you know what? Those same people are going to say, that's probably great. It'll take it back to nature as those houses fall in disrepair.
Well, this government that we have, not by the people, for the people, of the people, this appointed bureaucracy that are book smart and common sense dumb, they come up with these ideas. And you can't convince them they're wrong. I'm convinced some of these major fires are done in purpose because they believe in 200 years they're going to be heroes. The forest has come back to its natural state just as soon as we get these people living in our 15-mile cities?
They want it 15-minute cities.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned the forest fires, and I did not know this until I talked to a Cal Fire guy. And on the forest land or any federal land, if they see a fire, fire trucks driving by, and there's 50 foot off, there is a fire started. They cannot go on to federal land without permission from higher up. So they've got to sit there and watch it. So that's what bureaucracy does, is it doesn't have any common sense. They have rules. They add rules on top of rules. And I think Klamath River is going to be a tragic symbol of stupidity moving forward.
And Warren Buffett, he got out of the liability, dumped it all onto the taxpayers, the California and Oregon taxpayers. Thank you, Gavin Newsom. Berkshire Hathaway, they owned that those dams.
Oh, really?
Yes. And when it came up time to renew their 50-year agreement, their contract, the fish controversy came up, and they were going to have to build fish ladders or bypasses for the fish to go upstream, and that was going to be so cost prohibitive that he got out of it. I'm not sure if he turned ownership over to state of California or just liability, but anyway, we taxpayers are stuck with the bill of jerking out those dams. And you know, any litigation that comes from that because of taking out the dams, you'd probably be dead by the time it's settled.
Well, and I mean, and who are you going to sue? I mean, the greenies convinced the government to do this stuff, and you really can't sue the government and hardly ever win because you're paying for your lawyers and their lawyers, and it's going to be massive legal bills. And like you say, it may litigate for 20 or 30 years.
It's not the greenies that convinced them to do it. It's the greenies that are running the government.
Well, it's between
they
them.
They don't need any outside help.
Well, Nick, you know, in 2 weeks we got to be back here, and there's going to be no local election. What the heck are we going to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll make some stuff up.
Oh, we'll go liberal and just say stuff that's not true.
Hey, we'll call it Nick and Doug's Comedy Hour.
I think some of the listeners already think that.
Oh, well.
Well, you know, Nick, we're expecting that storm this week, and this is pre-recorded, so they're expecting it to be cold and multi-feet of snow up in Shingletucky, so we'll see how bad it gets, but it's cold out there today.
Well, it's nothing unusual. I remember winters like this.
Yeah. It used to be called normal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now it's an atmospheric river and a major catastrophe.
And it's global warming.
We've got to get everybody down here living in the urban area so we don't have to worry about them up there in rural zones.
The 15-minute city.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I think, Nick, we're done for the day. It's been entertaining. And in 2 weeks, we got to bring in new topics because the recall will be done.
Well, you know, I've got topics saved up for the last year.
Please save me.
We never get through.
No, we never run out.
We'd like to get through. But I've gotten lazy with this recall. I just throw out some clips and we beat them into the ground.
Well, there you go. That's what talk radio is. So, folks, have a great day, and we will see you in about 2 weeks. Anything you want to say before we hang up here, Nick?
Vote no on the recall.
Vote Steve Garvey. I like that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well,
have a great day, folks.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.